So now, here we go. Life Explorer, A Journey into Oneness is the title of our talk tonight. Our first talk by Gobind Singh Khalsa. And we are delighted to welcome him here to the store. And I'm looking forward very much to hearing what you have to say. So thank you so much for joining us. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, where to begin? I guess the purpose of Life Explorer is it's a journey into your own self, really understanding who you are as a person. And the first question I like to ask people is, like, well, why do you come here? Like, what's your purpose in life? Like, do you have a purpose? And I think it's a good question to ask yourself is, how do I want to experience this life, the one that I live right now? Every day we go through these different experiences, right? We have these human experiences. We come here for some purpose, right? So there's what we call the purpose-driven life. That's one theory, right? Some people teach the opposite, which is there is no purpose to life, right? We all come here to actually experience some state of awareness in this humanistic life. And Life Explorer is one way for you to actually understand who you are just through growing in awareness. And that's a process that takes time. I've learned over many years that it's hard to explain to somebody your own truth, your own wisdom. That's something you have to know for yourself. And the journey is one, going into oneness is about really going from this place of feeling that I'm separate from everything to feeling that I'm in one with everything. And that's a personal journey that everybody takes throughout the course of their life. Ideally, we'd like to be in that state of union constantly, and every day, and every moment, living that truth day in and day out, so we have this feeling of fulfillment. But we all have these different karmas and these different challenges, and we're all like, oh, well, how do I get the next job that I want? How do I, you know, fulfill my, you know, my deepest desire to have a loved one and get married and have children? Or how do I, you know, get to have that great experience going to Hawaii and, you know, surfing or whatever? These are all like life experiences that we want to have. So the first step is really understanding that that's a desire, something that we're striving for, that we really want to experience in our life. The second is to take a step away from that and really be aware of how that actually feels. Because in our lives, like, we have these different parts of our mind, right? We go through life, we have a expectations sometimes that we create that we need to achieve a specific goal. But there's a difference between, like, achieving something and having a purpose. Like, my purpose in life is to be myself, right? To love and to enjoy. And in that type of an expression, that will give you an indication of who I am. If I tell you I'm here to go do this and do that and do that, you'll be like, oh, he's coming from a place of, oh, ego. Like, oh, he's really got a mission. He's going to do something. That's the difference between, if you, like, take a look back, it's like, oh, my purpose is just really to deliver whatever it is that I need to come to deliver. It's like taking a look at yourself, like, well, am I really fulfilling that desire day in, day out? And that's what Life Explorer is about. So the first thing I ask you to do is just take a look around the room and introduce yourself to your neighbor. And don't think about anything, don't ask him anything. Just talk to them, just relate to them.
Hey, Carl.
I'm Mary.
Hello. So take turns and just ask something about them that you would like to know, something you like to learn about them.
Because I'm really interested in various spiritual paths.
Yeah.
And where did you come from?
Okay, so make sure each person gets a turn to speak. Okay, so the first thing I asked you to actually ask a question. But we'll do this one more time. This time, instead of asking a question, introduce yourself using your name. And instead of asking a question, introduce yourself and tell them something about you. And just take turns. Like, you know, just pick one and, you know, we can do it. Hi, my name is Gopin Singh. Nice to meet you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Thank you.
Okay. My name is Jim, and I'm the manager here at the store, and I'm here tonight to learn what you have to offer.
So thank you.
Did you notice a difference when you first asked the question and then when you expressed yourself? That's the first. This is kind of the tricky part. When we think, right, our mind thinks in different realms. Like, one of them is just, I am this person speaking. Right? I'm delivering something to you. Another is, I am listening, I'm receiving. So there's this constant exchange that happens. There's three essential parts to what Life Explorer is about. One is about relationships, understanding how you relate and understand how you project yourself out into the world. The other is how you receive and listen and understand. Right, so that's the humanistic part of what I teach. The other part is, how do I live my life? What's the lifestyle that I choose? Is that coherent and consistent with my values as a person? And do I project that in my daily life? And is that giving me the ability to manifest my destiny in my daily life? So how am I creating it? Am I going out in the world and achieving that truth, that desire? And there's a purpose in that, which is not a purpose-driven life. And when you can get the difference between the two, it doesn't, you create less pressure in your daily life because you're not constantly trying to, what's the word, reach a goal. You're attaining a goal on a daily basis. The third part, which is more yogic and meditation, is something we're not really going to talk about this time. But I want to get through to the first point, which is the relationship. So here, we're all having this interaction, right? Jim and I spoke, right? Jim told me that he's happy to be here and learn, and I told him I'm happy to speak and to convey the message that I have to deliver. All of you have a different way of relating and speaking. The key is that inside of our minds, we have these different processes that are going constantly. Who am I? How do I achieve this result? How do I do this? All these thoughts come in our thousands of times. And the communication breaks down as we learn more and more about our true self. Right? We have less of a difficult time having an open conversation with someone when you are feeling like, I'm safe and I'm secure. Right? So, for instance, if I were to walk down the street in Sebastopol, I gotta tell you, it's a little bit different from most of the country. As you all may be aware, it's just a little bit different. If I'm walking down the street in Sebastopol, chances are someone's gonna come up and say hi to me. Right? It's gonna happen. And the thing is, you always have a choice of how you want to receive that. Right? I could be open to the possibility of having dialogue with you, or I could be closed off and just interior. And what happens when I close off, right? What happens the first thing that you see? What happened to my chest? My whole, yeah. When we relate, right, our physical body is an expression of our self, right? And you can see when Jim speaks, for example, he carries himself with an open heart, and he's looking straight at me. Right? If he was closed off, he might be a little bit more reserved. No, thank you. I don't want to talk to you. Right? Well, the important thing is we don't need to judge anybody for how we relate. The purpose is understanding. Right? When I communicate, my intention is to speak from here and project it out this way. Right. So let's stand up for a second. That's one of my favorite things to do. Just look at your feet. And just focus on your breath. And as you inhale, just raise yourself, your head up, so you feel that your chest comes up and your heart is open. And as you relax, let your weight sink down into your legs. And so you feel the your bottom of your feet touching all the different points of the earth. Good. Now, stand up so you almost like squeeze your butt a little bit and flex the front of your thighs. It's almost like you're going to cut off all the circulation into your legs. Don't do it too hard, so I don't want you to hurt your knees. Just feel the way that feels, and then again, just release that pressure and let your weight sink down into your feet. This is just the bottom part of your feet, right? Feel it. When we kind of get really grounded, you can actually feel the energy flowing down into the earth. And you can feel yourself secure, right? I always like to use the feet because they're a good example to remind us that we're here having a human experience. We start looking at people, we start catching eye contact, you know, these different energies going on. I just thought of my feet, I want to get grounded, I just look down, I just relax. Now when you come up, I want you to center yourself looking straight ahead. Don't make eye contact with anybody in particular. And just feel like your spine is stacking right above one another, right? And what I mean is your vertebrae is actually curved, right? So your tailbone actually curves underneath and comes up, and a normal one has almost like a snake look to it, right? So when I say straighten your spine and stack it, what you're going to feel is your lower tail pelvis is going to sit down, and as your heart center opens up when you release your hips, your whole body is going to be centered over your hips, your pelvis. Does everybody feel that? And just focusing on your breath. Allow yourself the opportunity to just reflect on how you feel in your body. Without trying to think, analyze, critique, judge, change, or anything. Just feel yourself. Here's a tricky one. I want you to take your fingers, right, and I want you to reach up in the sky like this. This open, yeah, good. And now I want you to curl your fingertips like this, and your thumbs like this. So your palms are open. And you asked me about this after a while. And just put your fingertips sort of pressed up against the thumb, the pads of your hands. And the thumbs go pointing straight up. And so feet are like hip width apart. Spine is nice and straight. And pull your arms like you're going to pull them out of the sockets. And then release your shoulder blades and pull them down. Right. And arms are up at 60 degrees. Let's try this one more time. This time, close your eyes, keep your head straight up instead of facing down. And center yourself at the point between the eyebrows of the bridge of the nose. So just focusing, keep your attention on your breath. If you could close your eyes, close your eyes. If not, you can keep them open. And focus at that point right between the eyebrows. It's called the third eye point. And just breathe long and deep. So the purpose of this exercise is actually, it's called Ego Eradicator. It also gives you a greater sense of stability because it re-magnetizes your energy field. And focusing your breathing long and deep will give you a greater relaxation and circulation of your prana. And focusing your attention at the third eye will help draw that energy up in the lower chakras or the lower abdomen region, to what's called the seat of the soul, the third eye point. Now inhale deeply. Stretch the arms up over the top of the head. Bring the thumbs together and press them together. And exhale, glide the hands down away from the body. And just relax and help settle down. So now you don't want to do that when you're walking down the street, you know, talking to Sebastopol, like, oh, let's put our hands up. How do you feel?
Good.
Now communicate with your partner.
Right. You feel a little weak.
Oh, that's true.
I just came in a Qigong class, so I was kind of scared and my tea was flowing in.
Switch partners, whoever is talking, switch partners if you haven't already. Okay. Great. So I want you to just reflect on your conversation and just be aware of the type of conversation you just had. Again, don't think about the other person. Oh, that person said this to me. Just reflect on what just happened. What did we talk about? Understand just for a minute what the language was. When I say language, was it eloquent? Was it graceful? Was it brute force? Mm-hmm. And just the quality of the communication. And what words were transpired? What did you actually say? And if you remember, what did you actually hear? Could be not important at all. Don't place any meaning on it. Just reflect on what the quality of your conversation was and how was it conveyed. And if you could take a moment to just recognize the other person as you for a minute and reflect upon what that other person felt like when they were speaking to you. When they were speaking, what did it feel like to you? And vice versa, how did it feel to be communicating? Now, if we were actually in this program that I'm creating, you would actually like be writing, doing journaling. Mm-hmm. Right? Part of the program is things that you take into your daily life. Part of it is reflecting and learning in a workshop type of environment, and part of it is just self-expression. Right? And this, I'm going to tell you that this once, right? Everybody has their own path, right? I'm not going to tell you what your path is. That's not my job. It never will be, never was. Right? I'm not going to tell you need to come to my class and that's the most important thing for you to do. It's important for you to understand what it is that you need in your life. And the only way you're going to know that is if you just simply feel it. I feel like I should be in this place right now. And this isn't a path, right? There's spirituality where, you know, this is a particular region, you know, religion, this is a spiritual path. You wake up every morning and this is what you do. This is how you live your life every day. That's called a dharma, how we choose to live our lives. What we're learning in this particular program is how to become more aware. Right? In there you can learn things about dharma and about awareness and how to go out and live your daily life. But it is not intended to be a religion or any other type of spiritual path where you have to do this. Having said that, I am a very big believer of having a spiritual path, and I'm a very big believer of having a daily practice. Right? You can learn that, pieces of that here, and take that into your life. Like, I teach Kundalini Yoga. I'm also a Sikh. I have very high spiritual values. Like, you can learn those types of things. But again, the point of this is not to take this. It's to bring this, a piece of this awareness that you learned today, and carry it into your life on a regular basis. Today, again, we're focused mostly on your relationship with yourself. All right. The next one that I would get into, if this were actual workshop, would be, what are you creating today? How are you creating your life today? What is it that you're aspiring to create in the future? All right. Everything in this world is about what is here in front of you right now and how you're creating it out into the future. Everything that happened in the past is just an old wound that you're licking and trying to get rid of. So that's what part of our journaling process and what I teach is that we go into our journals to express ourselves and to understand who we are and also to reflect and learn, like through a series, a process where you learn who you are by just speaking and listening and paying attention in your life. And if anybody's been into any sort of therapy, one of the first questions everybody asks to you is, well, what's on your mind? Right? And that's an important thing that you got to really tune into, is how, when you go out into your world, what it is that's going on in your mind. Right? And that's where the spirituality comes in. Right? You can have like one path and be very successful at it, or you can dabble in 3, 4, or 5 and fail miserably. It's your choice. Okay? I tell you, it is much easier to live one way than 4 or 5 different ways. Every day when you're living your life, you have a moment where you get to just know yourself, right? That's called soul. That's called being with yourself. If you have all these things going on in your brain as you're going through your daily life, it's very difficult to really get to know yourself. Like, you could hear it. It's like a constant chatter. Like, you have to find a way to silence that thing. That thing that's called your alter self, like your duality. That's where spiritual living comes in. How I choose my life is different than, I'd say, 90% of the people that walk around on the streets around here. My turn. Right? But part of that is also that my inner being, the way that I choose to reflect and to meditate on a daily basis, affects the way that I live my life out in the world. I'll give you an example. What time did you get up this morning?
7. 7-ish.
And what time did you go to bed?
Oh, past midnight.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Okay. 7 o'clock, the sun's up already, isn't it? Okay. In my world, we like to get up before the sun is even thinking about coming out. And most people think that's crazy. Why would you ever want to get up that early? Like, who in the world would want to get up that early? How many people get up 4 or 6 o'clock?
Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't.
Well, I'm in that category. Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. I fail sometimes. Okay, can't get out of bed. That's like part of like the daily process that Life Explorer is about. It's really getting to know yourself. When you go through like what they call a catharsis, right? And you have this epiphany where something changes within you. Right? You decide that something has happened within you, and you believe you're there. Right? One thing that everybody on the spiritual path will always tell you: there's a point where there's no more questioning. And that's when you know that you're home.
Yeah.
So when you get up at 7 o'clock in the morning, what's the first thing that comes into your head? All right, you don't have to share. It's not, if it's personal, you don't have to share.
We're all curious now.
Well, she's the one who made the mistake of sitting right in front of me. That's just what happened. That's a beautiful thought. That's beautiful. I like that. Well, this morning when I woke up, I looked at that time and I went, there's no way I'm getting out of bed. Now, my teacher will tell you the most important thing that you do in your life is nothing. And that isn't that you don't take action in everything you do. It's that you're not striving to achieve a specific result. So I get back to what's the purpose, right? If my purpose is nothing, then how do I have any direction in my life? Because usually, many people wake up and they start thinking during their day, I gotta get to work. I gotta pick up the kids. Oh, I don't have anything to do today. I can just take a shower and do nothing and make breakfast. They're into their day already. That's why yogis get up so early. They're not in the day already. They're in what's called the Amrit-vela, which is this sweet spot. It's a time when the sun is far away from where you are, and the magnetic pull is much less, which makes it easier for us to just kind of rise up and fly. So the question is, well, why in the world would I want to get up so early and do that? Why would you want to get up and do that?
Because it's a beautiful time. And it's really, I don't know, I just, when I have been in the rhythm of getting up really early, you feel really clear.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
It's kind of like shaking out the driver's side, getting it all out. That's the real difference in spirituality, is that the goal is actually to clean all that garbage versus trying to be something, do something that you believe you should do. Now, there's a funny thing. When you're on a spiritual path, there's only one way you can do it where it's successful. Any idea what that is?
100%.
That's one way to look at it. But you could do it 80 or 90, I bet you'll be successful. You have to believe in it. faith that this is what feels good for me, this is right. Because you don't believe in it, what happens?
Energy goes crazy.
Trust. Trust.
Yeah.
I seem to get... I get... Could you ask the question again?
What is it that makes being on a spiritual path successful?
Letting go is what works for me the most. Just not really having any kind of goal in mind and letting the universe sort of come to me and present to me.
Okay.
What do you mean by successful?
What's the goal of spirituality?
That would have something to do with what you mean by successful. What is it to you?
Well, it's the same for everyone.
People would certainly say different things about their goals, I think. For some it's enlightenment, for some it's to serve Jesus or Krishna, or, you know, or for some it's to be good at practicing, you know, certain rituals, and you, people have different ideas of what their goal of their spiritual paths are.
Okay. Let me shed some light on that one. Everybody has different beliefs of their religion and spirituality, right? I'm not going to say that's not true, because I'm sure many people believe that what I say isn't true, and this he said, she said. Spirituality is about knowing oneself. When Jesus and Buddha taught, they taught one thing: how to know God, how to know that divine truth. Jesus didn't say, you have to live this way because this is the right thing to do. Buddha said that. Which goes against that speaker, by the way. Sorry, it would poo poo on your future teacher, but Jesus taught one thing: all I want to be is with my beloved Father. And what he learned was through the heart, that by teaching and loving and being compassionate through the heart and focusing his attention on God, that he could be one with the Creator. And when he taught, like in biblical terms, he taught to follow the old book. He said, if you're Jewish, be Jewish. Keep the old covenant. The old covenant is the same thing. Be one with your Creator. That's the goal of, you know, the Hebrews were there to serve God. That was their intention. If I got that wrong, then please apologize.
So, to use success in a spiritual path would be achieving this feeling of oneness with a source? Is that one way of putting it? What do you mean is success?
Yes, it would be communion with oneself, the soul. That's the intention behind yoga, is the same thing. It's to quiet the mind so you could become one with the universal consciousness. To lean your individual psyche, your individual consciousness, on the divine. That's the intention of yoga. Buddhism is emptying oneself and following a dharmic lifestyle so one can achieve that state of being. Now, the Buddha also taught that everything is suffering in this world, that there's always going to be some level of suffering. And that's true. But you can be in a state of awareness where you're connected and communing with yourself. Like Buddha never talked about God. He never said, God is this. He taught all the other things around it, so you would just become aware of that. That's why a lot of people they tend to go in multiple different ways, right? Buddhism is on one side. Christianity is almost on the other side, right? Because Buddha never actually said, this is the way, this is how you live, this is what you do. He said, if you follow these particular things, you'll become more aware. You will become awake, called the Buddha. And he said it's a hard thing to accomplish. All the teachers will tell you the same thing. It's not an easy thing. But the goal is still the same. That fulfillment that comes from that is really what one is after. Because when you feel fulfilled, when you feel satiated in your life, you don't feel there's any question about how you should live or what you should do or whether I should be going to get that next job or whether I should, you know, choose basketball over soccer, or, you know, whatever it is that you do. Whatever, I read that book versus that book. There's no more question, right? Because I feel like I would love to learn about heart and science of yoga. That's it. There's no question like, oh, should I read that or should I do that? Or should I go for a walk? Like, all that stuff just kind of goes away. Does that make sense?
You're talking about getting your guidance from within, pretty much.
No.
Not certain, not intellectually, but that just, but that's just what you do because you're so in touch with whatever it is within you.
That's true, yes. There's a mind way to look at it, and there's a consciousness or kind of like an intuitive way to look at things. Like a mental, like right brain, left brain.
Mm-hmm.
Like intuitively I feel like something's going on right now. But my mind says, no, it's not really happening. Right? When I believe that I should be doing something, right? This is what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. If I believe that I should be doing something, then I believe that I'm correct. Do you see that?
That you believe that you're correct? Is that what you
Yes.
said? Sometimes your voice gets very low. It's hard to hear.
Sorry. Spirituality, right?
Mm-hmm.
I believe in myself.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Think about that for a second. When you believe that you're being guided by your own self, that's a dualistic way to look at it. I am my own self is a non-dualistic way to look at it. That's why in relationships, we have an opportunity to become more aware just by recognizing the other person as you. There's no need for me to explain something to you because you feel you're aware.
Okay.
There's no thinking about how do I get to my next accomplishment, my next task. I don't have to think like I'm guided by my own self.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I'm just comfortable with the way things are. Do you understand the difference? Because
yeah.
it's a little bit...
I don't understand better. I just, when you said that, how do you know that you can be a success? I just, I think you very nicely told me what you mean, and I appreciate that.
Okay.
You're going on the trip. Thank you.
So I want to get this back on to where we were before about beliefs. So what I'm trying to understand in believing, right, when I teach beliefs, right, is really about being aware of who you are, right? But if I have a spiritual path, I'm going back to spiritual path, if I have a spiritual path where I have a block where I don't believe that's true,
mm-hmm.
I could never actually fulfill my destiny because I could never be living in a way where I'm consistent with that. Can you see that? Let's say you're a Christian, right? If I believe that Jesus Christ is Savior, that I am saved, but if I doubt that, I can never be comfortable with who I am as a person because I'm living in a way which doesn't stay consistent with everything that I've learned and everything that I believe in. Spirituality is about success, that there is no difference between what is real and the truth. That means that in our lives, right, we have every single moment that happens to us, we have an opportunity to really understand ourselves just by reflecting on and being present. Without judgment, just sit and listen to your own mind and reflect on what is actually going on in there. If you have, it's a great thing to do. Try this at home for 30 minutes. If you have that kind of time, not everybody has that kind of time, but if you have 30 minutes to just sit and do nothing and notice the way your mind works and thinks and all the things that come up. The purpose of that exercise is to start to clear the register. And in life, we've got this way of perceiving what is truth, what is real. Right? I could see an extension of myself only so far based upon
what level of awareness or degree of separation that I'm in. Like, I can only see as far as that chair. Beyond that chair, it's just an illusion to me. If I'm in a specific state of consciousness. Right? So how the question is, and this is complicated, that's why I think it's really difficult to explain this. How do you actually get rid of all of the different things that go on in your head on a daily basis? What's the process that you go by to filter through what is actually, like, for instance, what's being spoken here? How do you go through this process in your mind? How many times have you said, oh my God, what's this guy talking about? What's he saying? I don't get it. Think about how many times you think in 1 second. Try and guess how many times that is. It's ridiculous. No matter what you do, what you say, your mind is always going like this. Constantly. That's why, like, when you open up a book and just start writing, drawing pictures, your whole register starts to change. Because instead of, like, there's two different ways, right? The introverted, like, you have a predominantly where you're either introverted or extroverted, right? Your register, whether you're introverted or extroverted, is built up, usually in your solar plexus. This is where we carry all of our emotional baggage right here, right? When our mind thinks, it puts all this stuff, it's like more pressure into our solar plexus. We're trying to decide, well, how do we get rid of it? That's the purpose of what we're talking about here. Just start with one thing. Every day, take a piece of paper and write down, how am I doing today? How am I feeling? Mm-hmm. That's two things. Mm. What's it going to be? How am I doing or how am I feeling?
Feeling.
That's good. Try write down, how am I doing? Write down the list of the do's. All of them. What am I going to do today? I do laundry.
You can overwhelm yourself.
What's that?
Overwhelm yourself.
That's right.
Huh?
That's right.
Yeah, you can.
How many things do you have to get done today? Tomorrow.
I try not to count.
I tried this once for a month. I think I went crazy the first minute that I did it. So write down for a week all the things you want to get done. Write them all down. I'm going to get this done today. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. Now, all of you people that keep your to-do lists, you know, that's okay. You can still keep them. Don't worry. But write them down. One morning when you wake up at 7 o'clock, just write down, I'm going to do this today. And if you've got the whole morning, go for the whole afternoon. I'm going to do this all afternoon. I'm going to do this, 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 I'm going to do this. Don't worry, it could drive you nuts.
That's why I'm nuts. Okay.
Well, I mean, like, that's one thing we don't, like, really, like, most people, actually, you can't say that. What happens in this lifetime that we're experiencing right now is a lot of transitions, all right? Today, in this moment, the earth and the changes, like, the talks that are taking place now are very important to understand. Because there's so many changes that are going on in us. We have computers, right? Oh, so much information is coming at us. Like 10 million miles per second. All the time, there's different waves going on. And you know, all these different things that are happening. Like the Earth's changing, and you know, war and famine, that's always happening. So we can't say anything about that. It's always happening. But really, there's so many things that are speeding up and going faster. When you keep on running your list, you start to go even more crazy, because, like, now all of a sudden, not only do I have my to-do list, but all these things are happening too.
Yeah. And you start to see the hours and the days, and you start thinking that you don't have enough hours and time and minutes to do all the stuff that you just wrote down.
That's right. So maybe we should start with, how am I feeling?
Yeah.
Let's try it out.
Well, can I write down how I feel on a piece of paper? Can you draw a mental picture in your head of how you feel right now? But my head's still hurting. How do I draw my head hurting? A little darkness over there.
Right.
Well, how about if I draw a picture? Can I draw a picture about how I'm feeling? Try it. Close your eyes. Some people like the chakras. Others like the field, the aura. Some people like the oblique nature of nothing. But draw yourself a picture using spheres of how you feel. Go through your physical body. Physical body is just a small part of who we are. But it's an important one. It's our vehicle. People like to relate to their physical body, so it's a good place to start. Now, take your imaginary pen with your eyes closed and write down your first to-do. And how does that picture feel? Anybody want to share?
I couldn't get it across.
You didn't have a to-do?
Uh-uh. I was just so there with how I felt.
Well, you must be a saint. Everything's done for you already, huh?
No. I just couldn't think of a to-do.
Did anybody come up with a to-do?
Breathe.
Love yourself.
That's nice. Any action steps on that one? Go to bed on time.
Go to bed on time. Yeah, no, nothing else. Just kind of, oh, that's interesting. More feeling, and like you said, relating to the physical vehicle, maybe more appreciation of just the simple things.
Okay. So what do you notice about his answer? I'm sorry, what's your name?
Kyle.
Kyle. What do you notice about Kyle's answer? Who else had a to-do?
I thought drive. It doesn't make sense per se, but it's just what happened.
Can you draw a picture of it? What does it look like? It's yellow. And that yellow picture, where are you? When you, the first time you thought of the picture, did you actually draw it? Did you draw it in the yellow?
No, it was just
what's that?
It was just there.
First thought. What we're doing here is that we're examining our own psyche. Right? As we grow spiritually, there's different things that come out of our self. Right? It's important not to judge it. It's just to understand and learn. Usually the first thing you think of is a need. I feel I need something. Second thing people usually think of is what? After they've got through their needs, basic needs, I want something. When we go through this process, eventually all I want to do is give. Now, I say this because at every point in our lives, it's important to really reflect upon what is going on in my life and do I feel good? Because dogma is about believing that I should be doing something in a way that is because that's the way it should be done. Experience is about knowing oneself and living on a daily basis. I'll give you an example. I'm what's called an Amatari Sikh. I live it. When I don't, I know. Now, I converted to Sikhism. Right? That's much different from being born into something. Because when we go through life, we have all these beliefs that are put into ourselves from our parents mostly. Thank them. That was a good thing. They put all these buttons in you. Many people have Christian backgrounds that I know. And everybody has different backgrounds, but I have a lot of Christians. And some of them are either stick with Christianity and that's what they believe, or they go the complete opposite, which is, I can't stand it. There's people in the middle that finally they accept it and let it go. But the thing to learn about that is that everybody has beliefs that are put in them from when they're very, very small. And that unwinding those takes time. Even someone who's very high gifted yogi or a saint still has to clear that register. Because without that, you'll never know who you are. People go to therapy for years on end and they still can't figure out why it is that they can't resolve the issues that they started with when they first walked in there. Now, I'm going to tell you this one time. I believe in therapy. I'll never tell anyone that you shouldn't stay in therapy because it's a valuable gift to be able to experience and to learn and grow. But you can't expect that that is going to be the answer to all of your questions. You always have to find ways to improve yourself. And again, I'll go back to the purpose-driven life. Why do you come to this planet? What is it that you want to fulfill when you come into this world? If you could start writing that down on the paper, that's the place that you want to start. Because we all have a destiny in this world. Whether you believe it or not.
You believe that?
I know that.
You know it for yourself, or do you know it for all of us?
What, you want me to read it on your forehead? Everybody's destiny is on their forehead. It's right there, whether you believe it or not. The job isn't to tell you what you should do or what you shouldn't do. The job is to understand. Destiny is about living in your higher self and fulfilling that which you came to live for. Now, if you go through this idea in your head that I believe that I need to achieve something, like my goal in life is to do this, that's no way to live. That's not fun. It takes the life out before Saturday. If I believe, like, I'll tell you this, there's a saint named Guru Gobind Singh. One thing he asked for from God was this: take away the knowledge of the time of death. I don't want to know when I'm going to die. Because that's the one fear that is a real hard one to kill for a human being. That's coming from a saint. Well, the point is, why would a saint ask for such a thing? Does he want to know what day he leaves? What fun would that be? You don't believe in destiny?
Depends on what you mean by destiny. I can speak to it if you can tell me what you mean by that and how far it extends and whether it has limited or total influence and what spheres of influence.
Okay.
Tell me. Tell me more about your question.
Well, your question was whether there is destiny or fate. I implied that.
I didn't realize that that was hidden in my question. It was hidden from me, at least.
Okay. Then why'd you ask the question?
Gosh. What was the question again? I was asking whether you saw the...
whether I believe in destiny or not.
Well, I was asking whether you saw it for yourself, whatever we were talking about is for yourself or for everyone else. And if that was destiny, that's okay.
Okay. I understand destiny. Mm-hmm. Conveying it to you is simple. Everyone has one. It's on your forehead. I could see your destiny if we'd have time to look at it. But that's not the point. Everybody can see your destiny. When you show them. There's coverings of the soul. Okay? When we fulfill our destiny, there's no veil of illusion around what that really is.
Are you seeing the fulfillment of destiny as something that happens in the realm of time? Like, at a certain point in time?
No.
After that, the destiny has been fulfilled?
Okay. No. Well, that's an experience. Like, part of my destiny could be that I achieve something. Like, you become President of the United States.
What?
Become President of the United States.
Huh.
Part of my destiny might be that I become President of the United States so I can deliver this gift to humanity by saving us from destroying our world. Just me. That could be an experience within my destiny.
Mm-hmm.
But my destiny would be living in that state of real courage all the time. Day in, day out, that I'm manifesting my own truth on a daily basis.
Well, I think maybe then, with that clarification, we may be on the same track.
Okay.
I would look at, I might have said it slightly differently, such as for me, it's being who I am.
Okay.
At the essence, not just the outer layers.
Mm-hmm. That's part of what destiny is about. Right? How we choose to live is called dharma, right? In the Hindu, mm-hmm. in Hindu language. When we're living our dharma fully, we have a state of awareness that allows us to manifest our destiny on a regular basis.
Okay.
Right, so back to my Christian perspective, right? If I were to be a Christian and I would have a conflict with Christianity, I could never fulfill my destiny because I would always be in conflict with myself. I would always be looking at someone else and have a conflict because I could never truly understand who I was. Because I always believe something is wrong with my path, and therefore reflecting on me that I'm something wrong with me, because I can never feel good about that.
Mm-hmm.
That's why path is like one of those funky ones, right? There's
one
like
of those
it's one of those funky ones. It's like how you choose to live every day has to be consistent with yourself, right? My teacher once said, this guy once came to him and said, bless me with a name. I want to be Sikh. He said, you idiot, you're a Christian. And he said, no, I want to be Sikh. I want to be Sikh. He said, all right, Christ Singh.
Christ Singh.
And he went through the rest of his life as Christ Singh. Right, but this example is a perfect one, because he became happy and elated to be with an enlightened master. And he loved the fact that everybody around him was wearing white and putting turbans on and growing beards. He wanted to jump on the bandwagon. His teacher looked at him and said, no. But I'm not your teacher. That's why I'm not going to take this on your test. Wait, when you come across your teacher, if you haven't already, your teacher will tell you. And he'll say, what the fuck are you doing? That's why we're going to edit that later. Do you get it? When we go out to this world, right, everybody has this idea of what humanity and the earth is. Like you go out there and you go running around and you're like, okay, I'm going to my next... Where are you going next? Where are you going after this? Come on, give me something to work with.
I'm going to be here.
All right. What are you going to do tomorrow?
I'm going to be here.
Does he work here?
Well, kind of.
I am going to be here. And when is that? That is now.
Yeah.
And that is good for yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Okay.
Wait, is this, what's the guy doing? Eckhart Tolle.
This is me. And Eckhart Tolle isn't the first person to even use the phrase the power of now.
But you intuitively understand that today you're here, and then you project out into the future where you're going tomorrow.
I could make that leap. But when I answered your question originally...
Are you retired?
I didn't go.
What kind of work do you do?
Am I retired? Not quite. But I have retired from some things.
How many careers?
Depends on how you count. Say three.
So what time do you get up in the morning?
It varies from day to day. I generally don't worry about it too much. I try to get up by 9. Today I was up by 8.
You ever seen any Groundhog Day?
I know the general idea, but I haven't seen it.
I think you'd love it. He brings up a great point. Why should we think about tomorrow when we could just be here right now? That's what your journal is for. When I teach about journaling, it's not that you have to do this, you should do this. It's about becoming more aware of what you're creating. It's my to-do list. Now on my register, I probably have like 14 things left that I've wanted to create in my life. When I get to one, I'll be really happy. Yesterday was one. One day, I had 13.
Burn.
Well, I don't want to burn my own destiny. See, here's the difference. When you try and create conflict with me, you'll never understand. That's the irony. Life Explorer is about understanding yourself. It's transferring that knowledge into things that we can take action steps in our daily life so we can manifest our destiny on a daily basis. That's why in this moment, when you grab a piece of paper or talk to someone or really understand through relating to another person, you start to get a sense of where you are. Internally, like, it's like an elevator ride. Does everybody understand that?
I don't see why you have to put things down in pencil and paper to have that sense.
It's an awareness tool. It's not a have to.
Okay.
Do you ever write with your left hand or your right hand?
I write with my dominant hand like most people do.
Which one is that?
It's my right.
Okay. Write with your left hand. What you'll see is that you'll start to write in a way that doesn't feel comfortable. Right. My tablet, I'm looking at my tablet, oh my gosh, it's going this way. Right? I'm right-handed. This makes sense. Why? It's what? 30 plus years I've been doing this. I do it once this way, my awareness changes because I stop thinking about what I'm writing and I start looking at my hand and the position of my hand and how I relate to the pen and the way it moves across the paper. And I could judge myself and say, oh my gosh,
I show you my sloppy handwriting, you might find out that I'm insane. Or you might say that there's something wrong with this guy. Like, that's ego. You see that? Just by writing, you could look at the quality of my thoughts and say, well, what's he doing now? It's a tool. It's nothing more. It's not something that will hold attachment to you. Like the pen and paper in his pocket. You can whip it out right now and read everything on there. It really doesn't matter. The fact is that he's got a pen and paper in his pocket. I'm noticing. If I were to write that in my journal, I'm just noticing an observation. That's the same thing with a journal. I'm just using it as a way to see what's happening in my life. What time is it?
It's 8:45. A few more minutes. Okay.
So I was just beginning to get to what I was talking about as an elevator.
Mm-hmm.
Right? In our lives, right, we have different ways that we can relate. Right? I'm going to go back to the paper. I write down my first need, right? Food, water, tea. I can feel in my body what that need feels like. First chakra is all about need. The elevator, all the different energy in my whole chakra system is about staying present and being conscious to how I'm relating to the world. If I choose to be humble and bow, my energy comes from here. If I choose to be creative, expressive, comes from here. If I choose to take action or internalize, it could be from here. Journaling, like I said, is one way. The other things that are is how you relate in the world. When I speak with someone or you speak with someone, you understand just by reflecting on what's going on. And that's when the focus comes in. Right? If I focus on everything outside my world all the time, then where am I? You know the answer.
You're not at home.
That's right. That's right. All my energy is out there, and I'm in what we call Maya. It's the creation. But now, if I change my perception, and I bring my attention here, and stay inward, I can reflect on what's outside, and be present with what's inside. Try it. This is why I love journaling. If you put your attention on the things that you're looking to create in your life, you'll start to find out what's important to you. And that gives you a sense of what you're creating. Because what we speak generates an energy. And every day that we talk, we go out, and that carries us out, goes into the world. It's called the Akashic Record. What you say, it's going to happen. Unless you burn it off. That's why when you think about how you go out into the world, start with what it is you're actually creating. So before you go out and start speaking to the world, look inside for a little while and be patient. Because it's that register, right? That register, let's say, one more minute. You've got thoughts that go on in your brain. And you're only conscious of X percent of what is actually true and what is actually real.
There's a percentage of it which is called illusion. And there's the other part, which is just the thoughts that come in that you never get the time to let out, that you never get to release, that get stored in your body or stored in your mind. The process by which we get rid of that is called japa. All right? Japa means to meditate or to repeat. Right? Most spiritual paths have mantra involved with it. Even Christianity. They have a way to repeat something that will clear that register. Whether it be prayers, whether it be a word, a beach mantra, or whether it be you get to a point where it's just the silent sound of God, is what we call it. Where you just put your attention on that, and that becomes your japa. The point of this is to get rid of all that is not true, all that is illusion, so you can be more conscious and aware of your own self. And today, tonight, before we leave, you're going to go home and you're going to think about at least one thing that happened here tonight. You could sit all night and contemplate everything in the world, but you'll think of one thing that happened tonight. The important thing is whatever feels good for you. If you felt that there was something that came out of this conversation that you can take into your daily life and put it to work for you, that's the only thing that you really need to be using in your life. In other words, meditation, for instance, right? We can meditate for 6 hours and still not be able to move through a block. That's only one way. The other is how we choose to live our lives. Right? So I went beyond the time, so please forgive me.
You are forgiven.
Thank you on behalf of Many Rivers. And thank you all for coming out tonight. We have a couple of closing announcements.